Today's session, oh gosh, that's loud. Okay, reverberating in my brain. So the session this afternoon is on individual differences between consumers. Anybody who has done any consumer research knows that your greatest source of variation in your ANOVA model is going to be consumers. Anybody who's done consumer research knows consumers your greatest source of variability. Well, this afternoon's session, you'll learn a little bit more about the underlying principles on how those differences or what causes those differences. Our first speaker today is Shilpa Samant. Shilpa has a BS degree in food engineering and technology from the Institute of Chemical Technology in Mumbai, India. She earned her BS or her MS in food science with a focus on sensory and consumer sciences in 2015 from the University of Arkansas, working in Dr. Sow's lab. She's currently pursuing her PhD in the same lab and expecting to graduate in 2018. With that, I turn it over to Shilpa.
Thank you for the introduction. Can you all hear me in the back? Okay, great. So welcome to this session on individual differences among consumers. Hope you had an awesome lunch and are all pepped up for the talk. I'll be talking about personality traits and how they could be one of those individually differentiating factors, especially when you're trying to predict behavior in terms of overall liking or preference using emotional responses and sensory perception. So just a brief background, this is basically a small part of a big project that we are conducting. I'll let you know how we came up with the objective, how we approached it, some important results, and key takeaways. But before I begin, I just wanted to throw an idea out there. This is from the movie Inside Out, in case you have watched it and loved it like I have, in spite of all its flaws. Now, what I think it did was it associated every basic emotion or some of the basic emotions with a very characteristic stereotyped personality. And that's what I think it did. It's interesting to think whether it's the emotions that is creating that kind of personality or is it the personality which is driving those emotions. I don't know the right answer, but it's something for you to think about in the back of your mind while I go through my presentation. So to begin with, some years back it was reported that the failure rate of new food product introduction in the grocery industry is around 70 to 80%, which is really high. Now the statistics might vary based on where the research is conducted, but the underlying question is why is it that a product passes the litmus test of sensory testing but doesn't really do that well after being launched? Now there are millions of reasons for that. Some of them could be out of our scope, but if you are strictly thinking about sensory, what we need to understand is that sensory perception and trying to understand consumer responses involves multisensory attribute perception, which is our taste, aroma, flavor, etc. It also includes emotional experience or food beverage evoked emotions. So how a consumer feels towards a certain product determines their intuitive behavior in the future. So the current traditional methods are great at measuring the multisensory attribute perception, but not that great at the moment to measure emotional responses. So the most challenging question is how do we exactly measure these emotions? And our lab has been doing some work in this regard. We have worked with self-reported questionnaires, which are standard questionnaires developed to measure food-evoked emotions, facial expression analysis, so how you can measure reactions, involuntary reactions of consumers to different products, and autonomic nervous system responses, which is heart rate, skin temperature, skin conductance, and how these are manifestations of emotional responses in humans. So how can we use them to understand consumer behavior better? Now, while working on these kind of emotional methods, we asked ourselves a question. Do all consumers really feel the same way? Is it possible that we who are working in this applied emotion field, are we trying to put all consumers in this common pool of emotional expression? Is it possible that they actually express their emotions differently? And the answer is yes. Emotional expression actually could vary with personality traits. And this is something you can observe in a day-to-day life. Different people react differently to different stimuli. So we thought of diving deeper into personality traits, and we thought of focusing on the big five personalities: agreeableness, openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, and neuroticism. Today I will focus on extroversion and neuroticism. The reason being, when we conducted the study and performed cluster analysis with personality traits, we had two distinct major clusters. One was high extroversion and one was high neuroticism. So reading more into the literature, we actually found some interesting associations based on these two personalities and emotional expression. So what do we exactly have? Oh, before I go ahead, extroversion basically means how comfortable you are socially, and neuroticism means how moody or irritable you can be, or anxious you can be. So we have these three blocks: taste intensity, personality traits, and emotional responses. The association between taste intensity and personality trait is still unclear. There are some results, but they are not very consistent. The association between taste intensity and emotional responses is mediated by liking or hedonic response. The association between emotional responses and personality traits is actually supported by a lot of brain activation research and self-reported emotions in neuroscience and psychology. For example, there is actually a personality trait called alexithymia, which means the inability of a person to identify and describe an emotion, and so to some extent express it. And it runs very closely with neuroticism. So what we thought was, we wanted to look at all these different blocks together. So the objective was to determine if we are trying to predict overall liking and preferences among consumers based on emotional responses and taste intensities, is it possible that the predictions might be different based on different personality traits? So first of all, we had a total of 100 participants for this study. At the end, we could use the data for around 67 participants, and we had around 33 to 34 participants in each cluster of high extroversion and high neuroticism. So the most important part of the protocol is orientation, because when you're conducting studies with heart rate and you have all these electrodes attached, people start feeling it's a lie detection test. And I'm not sure why that's scary, but they are scared, and that kind of messes our results. So we needed to have a very elaborate and clear orientation session. We used basic taste solutions, sweet, sour, salty, and bitter, and at two different concentrations, conducted on two different days, and we also had water as control. This is kind of what our setup looked like. We measured emotional responses using self-reported emotions like Essence25 questionnaire, autonomic nervous system responses like heart rate, skin temperature, and skin conductance, and facial expressions towards each sample. Also measured their intensities and overall liking. After completion of one set, participants tasted the samples again and ranked them according to their preference. Finally, they finished the Big Five inventory, which can be considered as a personality quiz to understand where they stood in terms of their personality traits. So we basically built prediction models using regression. We had taste intensity and emotional responses as our independent variables, and we predicted overall liking, which is a continuous variable, using multiple linear regression, and preference using ordinal regression in JUMP. So what we basically did was build all these 15 models to see how one predictor is working, how a combination of predictors are working, and what can work best to predict overall liking and preference. And we used the Cohen's F-square formula to understand the contribution of a predictor in the presence of another predictor. What this means is, if I want to know the contribution of facial expressions, which is basically FE, how much does it contribute, or how well does it contribute to a model which already has self-reported emotions? So for that, I would compare model 8 and model 2, plug in the values in the equation. If the values are on 0.15, I know that facial expressions contributes kind of not that much. If it is around 0.35, then it's a decent contribution. We use these model comparison parameters, which are universally used to compare regression models. So like I mentioned earlier, we had two different clusters, high extroversion and high neuroticism, and we wanted to compare the two in terms of how the prediction models worked. We started off with a model which contained only self-reported questionnaire. The reason being, this was the best single predictor model. So only self-reported questionnaires was good enough to predict overall liking, at least the best amongst the ones we built. But what happens when you add something else to it? So what happens when you add facial expression terms to this regression model? We saw that the improvement of the model was moderately good for the cluster with high neuroticism, that is high neuroticism participants, but it didn't really change much for participants with high extroversion. So that led us to think, what happens if we add some other terms? So we did the same with taste intensity. So started off with a model using only self-reported emotions, added taste intensities to the model. The improvement was small, but there for people with high neuroticism. However, the change was actually nothing for people with high extroversion. So what this means is that self-reported emotion questionnaires was the dominant predictor for overall liking for participants with high extroversion. But for participants with high neuroticism, addition of facial expressions and other parameters like taste intensities added value to the model. So then we sought to build the optimal model for overall liking. And I won't go into the details of preference because the models kind of followed a similar trend. So we use sensory attribute perception and emotions as our predictor. For cluster N, that was participants with high neuroticism, the optimal model included taste intensities, facial expressions, and self-reported emotions. So that was our optimal model for participants with high neuroticism. For high extroversion participants, actually the model with only self-reported emotions was good enough to predict overall liking, but when we added facial expression terms to the model, it improved slightly. So since the aim was to build the optimal model based on regression comparison parameters, we chose to retain the facial expression terms. So what all this means? So why these personality-induced differences in the model is the question. And the answer somewhere lies between how these different personalities express emotions and how we are measuring them using the techniques we have at hand today. So people with high extroversion are more comfortable in or can accurately translate their experience, their emotional experience, and explicitly tell us about it based on self-reported questionnaires, which basically ask you straightforward, how do you feel? But people with high extroversion are not that great at translating that information, that experience, into words. So you need more implicit measures, like facial expressions, to measure those involuntary reactions to any stimuli to holistically understand their emotional behavior. Whereas for people with high extroversion, explicit measures are currently good enough. The second reason is, and this is based on a meta-analysis, that people with high extroversion are predisposed towards positive emotions, which means they can easily feel positive emotions and can feel it more intensely. But for people with high neuroticism, they are more predisposed towards negative emotions, which means they can feel negative emotions more easily and can feel it more intensely as well. So if you compare the characteristics of self-reported questionnaires and facial expressions, self-reported questionnaires actually measure higher number of positive emotions because they have been developed for specifically food, at least the ones we used, and generally the idea of food consumption is positive or at least neutral. Whereas for facial expression analysis, if you have worked with facial expressions, they actually measure more number of negative emotions than positive emotions. So this could be one reason why we are seeing the contribution of facial expressions to be higher for participants with high neuroticism who are maybe not able to express those emotions that well compared to participants with high extroversion. So what all this boils down to is that if you are conducting an applied emotion research, and if you have a panel with high number of extroverts or people with high level of extroversion, using self-reported emotions could itself be a good indicator of their emotional behavior and to predict overall liking. But if you have a panel with high level of neuroticism, then it might be better to add implicit measures like facial expressions and even ANS responses. I didn't speak a lot about ANS responses because we didn't have much results with it, but they can definitely also be used as implicit measures of emotional behavior. So the key takeaways are that if you are working in the field of applied emotions, it is important to consider the personality traits of the people you are using as your participants, because the prediction models for overall liking and preference might differ. So for extroversion, self-reported emotions could be a good indicator in itself. For people with high level of neuroticism, you might want to add implicit measures. And that's how you holistically at least take a step forward towards holistically understanding your consumers and how they're reacting to your products. So where are we headed with this? We're actually now working with commercial beverages to see if we can predict their behavior towards beverages, because basic taste solutions are very different. A bitter is different from sweet. But if you're working with commercial products which are very comparable with minute differences, can you really apply this model? And also include purchase behavior aspects to see if our model is robust enough to work on that. Thank you so much for your attention, and I'll be glad to take any questions you may have.